Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening in other devices and are recording, Sabbath blessing everyone. On this Sabbath, July 26, 2025, this is our review of our chapter 86 entitled, Go Teach All Nations, Part 5 of our lesson 439. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. We are going to ask, I'm not sure if our dear brother is okay, to be able to sing the hymn for a theme of the Tiny Talks entitled Peace, Perfect Peace.
I'll try. Peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with loved ones far away, in Jesus' keeping we are safe and they. Peace, perfect peace, our future all unknown. Jesus we know, and he is on the throne.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Dick. We are going to ask any one of the little ones, by the help of their parents or elder sibling, that would like to open the review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Hello, Pastor, everybody. Thank you, God, for working us effort this morning. Peace protect us. Peace protect me and my mom and my dad. Peace protect people who are here, people who are not here. Peace protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, little one. It is time for our dear Remnant family to hear all the blessing the little ones has been in their household. If you would like to share, may you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Hi. Have a blessing, everyone. For mommies and daddies, for the helpers, I'd like to highlight our dear little Hindi and Emma. For just always being willing to help and be a light in every situation that they are in. By God's grace, they continue to want to wake up very early in the morning to go out with me to help to let my work at the laundry be lighter. And they help so very well in helping to fold their clothes and help me to fold others as well. And, I want to give God thanks for that because it has been tremendously helpful to have them to help to make the work a little lighter and to have their company as well. So God be praised for that.
Amen. God be praised indeed. Is there any of the Remnant family that would like to share?
Sabbath blessings, everyone. I would like to highlight all my children, actually, from my oldest to my youngest. They're all here, and I just wanted to thank all of them for actually helping out while I actually pursue something I enjoy, going back to school. So while I'm in school, they've been cleaning, cooking, spending time with each other, helping out with some of the bills and making sure by the time I get home, the house is clean and the food is cooked and they go shopping and everyone does their part. So by the time I'm home, everything's done. So I just wanted to highlight all of my children. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Many hands make light work indeed. Thank you so much, dear ones, for sharing. It is time for our precious little one to be able to review their lesson. So let's have a listening ear for our dear brother who will be able to share our chapter 26 entitled He's Risen, Part 2 of the story of Jesus.
All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of John, chapter 11. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a promise, what a promise. The sleeping soldiers awake and start to their feet. With awe and wonder, they gaze at the open heavens and the vision of brightness which is nearing them. The earth trembles and heaves as that powerful being from another world approaches. He is coming on a joyful errand, and the speed and power of his flight shakes the world like a mighty earthquake. Soldiers, officers, and sentinels fall as dead men to the ground. There had been still another guard about the tomb of Jesus. Evil angels were there because the Son of God had fallen in death. His body was even then claimed as the prey of him who has the power of death. The devil, even though Jesus didn't sin. The angels of Satan were present to see that no power should take Jesus from their grasp. But as the mighty being sent from the throne of God approached, they fled in terror from the scene. The angel laid hold of the great stone at the mouth of the tomb and rolled it away, as if it had been but a pebble. Then with a voice that caused the earth to tremble, he cried, Jesus, thou Son of God, come forth, thy Father calls thee. Then he who had earned the power over death and the grave came forth from the tomb. Above the rent sepulchre, he proclaimed, I am the resurrection and the life. And the angel host bowed low in adoration before the Redeemer and welcomed him with songs of praise. This was taken from The Story of Jesus by Ellen White, page 155. Thank you.
Thank you so much, dear brother. I hope by God's grace you will feel better. Next Sabbath, we will continue with part 3 of our lesson entitled, He's Risen, in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story of Jesus, which will take place August 2nd, 2025. And I'm going to hand it back to you, dear brother, that you may review with them.
Rose, I don't feel bad. It's just that I don't have much of a voice. With awe and wonder, what were the soldiers gazing at?
The answer to number 1 is the open heavens and the vision of brightness.
Yes. What happened to the soldiers, officers, and sentinels as the angel appeared?
The answer to number two is they fell as dead men to the ground.
Yeah, have you ever been so overwhelmed by something that you fell down? Well, they were. What did the mighty angel voice that caused the earth to tremble cry?
The answer to number three is Jesus, thou Son of God, come forth, thy Father calls thee.
Yes, thy Father calls thee. And if you can imagine a person lying there dead, as soon as the angel awakened him, there was a smile on his face. And he said to himself, I knew he wouldn't fail me. Okay, our bonus question. What did the Savior proclaim above the rent sepulcher?
Answer to them, to the bonus question is, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes, I am the resurrection and the life. And because he raised to life, he can raise anybody else to life he wants. He will too, those that love him at the first coming. Those that don't love him, well, they get to wait 1,000 years. They get a little longer sleep. And then they get raised. Thank you.
Thank you, dear brother. Well done, everyone. It's time for Tiny Tots and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. And we are going to have a review of our topic, Mums of the Bible. Let's have a listening ears, little one, for our dear brother, Josh Mushi.
Blessings, everyone. Here are our Bible verses for our lesson review. It's taken from the book FBL, Year 2, Core 4, Lesson 7, Jesus Calms the Storm. We'll be reviewing from last week's lesson, the Seeing the Spiritual Insight, say before it. We'll read first Mark chapter 5, verses 8 to 16, and they say, For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. He besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. They that fed the swine fled and told in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil that had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerned the swine. Looking through nature, all manner of mammals, whales, wolves, we've seen lesson 5 of a whale's life, of the spiritual insight before it. And the memory verse for today's story is 1 Peter 2:2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The character quality for the whole lesson story is obedience versus willfulness. Obedience is compliance with God's commands done quickly and cheerfully. Healed. The presence of God brings torment to the wicked, men and demons alike. With authority, he bade the unclean spirits come out of them. His words penetrated the darkened minds of the unfortunate men. They realized dimly that one was near who could save them from the tormented demons. They felt the serious heat to worship him, but when their lips were open to entreat his mercy, the The demon spoke through them, crying vehemently, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" And the answer was, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Using the afflicted men as mediums of communication, they besought Jesus not to send them out of the country. Upon the mountainside, not far distant, a great herd of swine was feeding. Into these, the demons asked to be allowed to enter, and Jesus suffered them. Immediately, a panic seized the herd. They rushed madly down the cliff, and unable to check themselves upon the shore, plunged into the lake and perished. It says above the next paragraph, in the Roman army of Christ's time, a legion was made up of 3,000 to 5,000 men. Evidently, Satan has enough spare demons that he can waste 3,000 to 5,000 of them on one or two men. Jesus did not cast the devils out one at a time. Indeed, he cast all at once. Meanwhile, a marvelous change had come over the demoniac. Light had shone into their minds, their eyes beamed with intelligence. The countenances, so long deformed to the image of Satan, became suddenly mild. The bloodstained hands were quiet, but with loud voices, the men praised God for their deliverance. From the cliff, the keepers of the swine had seen all that had occurred, and they hurried away to publish the news to their employers and to all the people. In fear and amazement, the whole population flocked to meet Jesus. The two demoniacs had the terror of the country. No one had been safe to pass the place where they were, for they would rush upon every traveler with the fury of demons. Now these men were clothed in their right mind, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words and glorifying the name of him who had made them whole. But the people who beheld this wonderful scene did not rejoice. The loss of the swine seemed to them of greater moment than the deliverance of these captives of Satan. The desire of pages 337-338. Here we see the picture of a beluga whale. Oh, the beluga whale's scientific name is Delphinapterus lucas, and its length is 4 meters or 13 feet. And under the whale's head and upper body, it's telling the measure 1 meter equals 3 feet. And over on our right, we see a picture of a beluga whale in an aquarium tank and a small girl, pressing her hands on the surface, trying to greet it, no doubt. It says here, belugas are also called white whales, and their unusual color makes them one of the most familiar and easily distinguishable of all the whales. Calves are born gray or even brown and only fade to white as they become sexually mature around 5 years of age, according to NationalGeographic.com. Its type, mammal. Its diet, carnivore. The average lifespan in the wild, 35 to 50 years. The protection status, near threatened. Size 13 to 20 feet or 4 to 6.1 meters. Weight 1 to 1.5 tons or 0.91 to 1.4 tons. Group name, pod. Did you know the beluga whale can turn its neck in all directions, unlike most other whales? The beluga whale profile. The frigid waters of the Antarctic, which is probably what was meant to say, are home to many weird and wonderful animals, not least he is the smiling, hornless cousin of the Arctic narwhal. This may well be the happiest looking member of the cetacean order, the beluga whale. This charming, brilliant, white, bubble-headed whale has a perpetual grin. Possibly this is because, despite humans' best efforts, their global population seems to be doing relatively well. The majority of belugas live in the Arctic Ocean and areas around Alaska, Canada, Greenland, Scandinavia, and Russia. Their population is thought to be around 200,000 in total worldwide. They are sometimes known as the white whale for obvious reasons, as well as the sea canary due to its high-pitched calls and melon head due to its firm melon-shaped head. Beluga whales are stocky in appearance, with a large percentage of its body blubber or fat. They can grow up to 6 meters or 20 feet in length and weigh as much as 1,600 kilograms or 3,500 pounds. They are highly social creatures, live in pods and hunt together. They are opportunistic feeders and like to diet on cod, halibut, salmon, shrimp, squid, octopus, and more. I found in factofanimals.com. No, no, it's okay. Go ahead. Next, we have info from the blue whale. The blue whale's profile. The blue whale is a marine mammal that's believed to be the largest animal that has ever lived, far bigger than even the largest dinosaur. Inhabit the Antarctic Ocean, the North Atlantic, North and South Pacific, and Indian Oceans. They are members of the order Artiodactyla and family Balaenopteridae, or rorquals, the largest group of baleen whales, which includes the humpback whale and fin whale. The blue whale, scientific name is Balaenoptera musculus, prefer the deep ocean rather than coastal waters or bays, and be found living in any of the oceans located around the globe. They tend to spend the warmer months feeding in the polar regions and will participate in extensively long migrations to the equator as winter approaches. Blue whales live typically between 80 to 90 years, with some reaching up to 110 years of age. They have a carnivore diet, but despite their size, these massive sea creatures prefer to eat some of the tiniest marine life. Blue whale will feast on plankton called krill, which is a small animal that resembles shrimp. Due to the relative sizes of both the blue whale and krill, they can consume as many as 40 million krill, or 8,000 pounds, or 3,600 kilograms as a daily. Information from factofanimals.com/blue whale. Here's another picture of the blue whale. Well, they also mentioned the scientific name, Balaenoptera musculus, with length 29.5 meters or 97 feet. And next is the picture of an elephant, whose size is up to 3 meters, or about just 9 feet. And below we see information about the killer whale. The killer whale profile, orcas, or whose scientific name is Orcinus orca, often called killer whales, are actually the world's biggest dolphins and are members of the Delphinidae family, which also includes species such as ball-nose dolphins and pilot whales. They inhabit most of the world's oceans, ranging from the equator to the polar regions. It's thought they got the misnomer killer whale from sailors who saw them hunting whales, which is information from botanica.com/animal/killer whale. On the top left, we see the whale's scientific name, killer whale or orca. Of Orcinus orca, who is length is 8 meters or 26 feet. And the equal measurement of 1 meter is just 3 feet. On our right is a small diagram of asking what do killer whales or orcas eat. And you see the list just right next to the whale's picture. Fish, squid, seals, and sea birds. While they're still currently categorized as one species, scientists are now beginning to recognize that there are multiple species of orca, which are likely subspecies or even different species altogether. Orcas are aquatic mammals with cetaceans, so they are warm-blooded and breathe air. They are apex predators, meaning they are at the top of the food chain, and they are often to hunt marine mammals, seals, felines, etc., fish, and penguins. They have complex social structures. Some form pods composed mainly of matrilineal, or descended from the mother lines, which will contain several generations of family members. Others form smaller transient groups, which usually involve both a mother and two offspring. And then there are roving males who never become a part of a pod. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. Next we have, first we have from our dear Cecilia family, some blue hydrangeas. The hydrangeas, those were first cultivated in Japan. They touched down in Europe much later in 1736. The colors are determined by the soil. The ideal pH levels for each shade are followed. Blue below 5.5, purple between 5.5 and 6.5, white between 6 and 6.2, and pink over 7. If your soil has varied pH levels, you can end up with a blend of colors. Hydrangeas just don't have petals. Those beautiful petals aren't petals at all. They are sepals, which are leaves that protect the flowers, but only after they age do they turn from green to the pigmented colors you see. Their name has a Greek origin. Hydro means water, and annulus means, which means jar or vessel, emphasizes the need to water this particular flower off. There are over 75 species of hydrangeas. That being said, there are only six major ones that are grown in American gardens. Big leaf, smooth, panicle, oak leaf, climbing, mountain. Each one requires a different type of soil, sunlight, and blooming time, as explained in housebeautiful.com/lifestyle/gardening/G39749767/interesting hydrangea facts. The popular plant that most of us call geranium today was introduced to Europe by Dutch traders who brought them from South Africa in the early 18th century. Because these new plants resemble the hardy wild geraniums already grown in Europe, botanists mistakenly grouped them together into the same genus. In 1753, Swedish botanist Carl Linnaeus has classified them under the genus geranium. But it was later discovered that these new geraniums differ from European geraniums in the shape of their petals, the number of stamens, and other factors. They are reclassified under Pelargonium, meaning stork's bill, a reference to the long, sharply pointed shape of their seed pod. The common geranium is a wide range of floral colors, with red, orange, pink, white, and single or double flowers set high above lush green leaves, sometimes black color with bronze or purple markings. Once mature, most geraniums are 12 to 18 inches tall and 18 to 24 inches wide, depending upon the cultivar. As is told in almanac.com/plant/geraniums, and in the picture below, we see that the geranium flower was one of the few choices and also at the same time, but the work designed to get out, mother's influence, number one, MR number 1120, letter 3B, 1881, page 3. Next, the begonias. The begonias are popular flowering plants known for their vibrant colors and diverse forms. They belong to the family Begoniaceae and are native to the tropical or subtropical regions. the types of begonias. The fibrous rooted begonias, commonly grown for their colorful flowers and foliage. Tuberous begonias, known for their large, showy blooms and are often grown known as annuals. Rhizomatous begonias that feature thick, fleshy stems and attractive leaves, often used for ornamental purposes, growing conditions. Light, prefer bright indirect sunlight. Too much direct sun can scorch leaves. Soil, dry and well-draining, rich potting mix, avoid waterlogged conditions. Watering, keep soil consistently moist but not soggy. Reduce watering in winter. Toxicity, begonias are mildly toxic and ingested, particularly the tuberous varieties. Keep away from pets and small children. This description is just the ruffled bloom daylily mixture. Just as there are many kinds of daylilies, there are also many kinds of ruffles decorating them. All these frills help the flowers to deliver real floral impact. Oh, the wonder of it all is the beauty of a daylily. In fact, there's just one word to describe it. Wonderful. Ken Oakes has a weakness for daylilies with extravagant edges, and in his words, wonder at all is one of the best. We can have no better lesson book than nature. Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, yet do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in his glory was not arrayed like one of these, but the minds of our children be carried up to God. It is for this that he has given us the seventh day and left it as a memorial of his created work. Child Guidance, page 55, paragraph 1. Next, we'll end the Sessler STEM review, the nature lesson concerning hummingbirds. Nature, hummingbirds. We have learned that the hummingbird is the smallest bird, builds the smallest nest, and lays the smallest eggs. The ruby-throated hummingbird's nest is built high in the branches of the trees. She built her nest of shreds of bark, soft grass, and bits of plants, or cattail fluff. She sometimes covers the outside with lichen and bits of bark. This helps camouflage her nest. God kept Elijah camouflaged so Ahab and Jezebel cannot find him. The female lays two tiny eggs about the size of an egg.
We apologize. Joshi computer just died. If anyone would like to just take over until when his computer is boosted, I think he left off where it talks about the young hatch in about 2 weeks.
Okay. The young hatch in about 2 weeks. The babies have no feathers when hatched and cannot see. In about 3 weeks, they have their feathers and are strong enough to leave the nest. And then we go on to the other portion. We too need to be strong in knowing God and serving Him while we are growing up. For someday, like the young hummingbirds, we will leave the nest. We want to be like Elijah, the widow, and her son, and be faithful to God. We will be thankful if we are. God gives the different kinds of birds wisdom to know exactly when to start building their nests so that the young are hatched when there is the greatest amount of food available. Just as God helps the parent birds to look out for their children, so God looked out for Elijah and made sure he had plenty of food. At the top, you can see that there's a hummingbird circle right there. This one is on, here's Brother Joshua. He's back.
Thank you for taking over, Brother Joel, while I was temporarily shut down. Next, we have, from our dear sister Chantel, we have a lesson from a book talking about the whole rainbow. A whole book talking about the rainbow. It says, The Bow of Promise. The rainbow is the gospel published in the sky. At a time in history when books and paper were not available like we have now, the rainbow was God's way to cheer men's hearts and keep them from being afraid. When rains came pouring down, streams swelled into great rivers. Rivers grew broad like seas. Still, the rain kept falling. Men might have been afraid that God was going to flood the world again, but God made the rainbow for a sign that he would not. And God made a covenant with Noah that he would no more destroy the world by a flood. He said, This is the token of the covenant which I made between me and you and every living creature that is with you for a perpetual generation. I do set a bow in the cloud and shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. The Rainbow Stone, page 1. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. Genesis 9:12-16. God said, I do set my bow in the cloud. The rainbow is, in a special sense, God's bow, for a rainbow encircles his throne. When John, on the Isle of Patmos, saw the throne of God in heaven, he saw that there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight, like unto an emerald. Revelation 4:3. The prophet Ezekiel also saw visions of God. He saw the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw the color of amber and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Ezekiel 1:26-28. We learn, therefore, that in saying his bow in the clouds, God is showing us his own glory that is about his throne. It is the bow of promise, where he gave his word, and his word is his glory. Next, from our dear Edwards family, from our dear Circassian family, we have information concerning their friend Angel, who is this kind named a butterfly, the Red Admiral butterfly. The Red Admiral butterfly, whose scientific name is Vanessa Atalanta, also once known as the Red Admiral, stand out as a distinctly medium-sized butterfly species, indigenous to a broad geographical expanse that includes the temperate parts of North Africa, Europe, the Americas, the Caribbean Islands, and Asia. Exhibiting the fascinating migratory pattern, these butterflies venture northward during the spring and autumn, thriving predominantly in warmer regions, yet demonstrating remarkable adaptability to various climates. Nature, butterflies are important. Butterflies are important for they provide beauty for our world. This reminds me and us of Hannah's beautiful character, how she taught Samuel to also have a beautiful character. Butterflies provide food for other animals. Samuel provides spiritual food for the children of Israel by his godly, reverent example. God's love is represented by the beautiful things of his creation. The sons and daughters of God, page 75. As you behold the lovely butterflies, he desires that we be softened and subdued by the works of his hands. The sons and daughters of God, page 75. He has given these tokens of his love that we may have correct views of his character. This is just the young people, page 65. And that information given from butterflyidentification.com/redadmiral.htm. Our reference video for our lesson, Mammals of the Bible Reviews, taken from our study book, The Desire of Ages, chapter 35, Peace Be Still, part 6. Continuing. Jesus asked, "What is thy name?" And the answer was, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Using the afflicted men as mediums of communication, they besought Jesus not to send them away out of the country. On a mountainside, not far distant, a great herd of swine was feeding. In the demons asked to be allowed to enter, and Jesus suffered them. Immediately a panic seized the herd. They rushed madly down the cliff, and unable to check themselves upon the shore, plunged into the lake and perished. The Desire of Ages is page 238, paragraph 1. Meanwhile, a marvelous change had come over the demoniacs. Light had shone to their minds. Their eyes beamed with intelligence. The countenances, so long deformed into the image of Satan, became suddenly mild. The blood-stained hands were quiet, and with glad voices, the men praised God for their deliverance. The Desire of Ages, page 238, paragraph 2. From the cliff, the keepers of the swine had seen all that occurred, and they hurried away to publish the news to their employers and to all the people. In fear and amazement, the whole population flocked to meet Jesus. The two demoniacs had been the terror of the country. Continuing, not one had been safe to pass the place where they were, but they would rush upon every traveler with the fury of demons. Now these men were clothed in their right mind, staying at the feet of Jesus, listening to his words, and glorifying the name of him who had made them whole. But the people who beheld this wonderful scene did not rejoice. The loss of the swine seemed to them a greater moment than the deliverance of these captives of Satan. The Desire of Ages, page 238, paragraph 3. It was in mercy to the owners of the swine that this loss had been permitted to come upon them. They were absorbed in earthly things and cared not for the great interest of spiritual life. Jesus desired to break the spell of selfish indifference that they might accept the faith. For regret and indignation for their temporal loss blinded their eyes to the Savior's mercy. Desire of Ages, page 238, paragraph 4. The manifestation of supernatural power aroused the superstitions of the people and excited their fears. Further calamities might follow from having this stranger among them. They apprehended financial ruin and determined to be freed from his presence. Those who had crossed the lake with Jesus told of all that had happened in the preceding night and of their peril in the tempest and how the wind and the sea had been stilled. But their words were without effect. In terror, the people thronged about Jesus, beseeching him to depart from them. He complied, taking ship at once for the opposite shore. The Desire of Ages, page 239, paragraph 1. Our three bonus questions for the story. You can find them in the book, in the Bible, or even in the Desire of Ages book itself. Question 1 is, what did Jesus say to the unclean spirits? The answer is in Mark 5, 8 to 9. 2, what did the unclean spirits request? What happened? Check Mark 5, 10 to 16. 3, did the unclean spirits obey Jesus? And I'll give the mic back to Mom now.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Brother Josh. And remember, little ones, peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin. The blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, a future all unknown. Jesus, we know and He is all. The Amen. Welcome to all the precious family that have just came in, and for others listening in other devices, our opening song is a hymn to a theme entitled Before the Throne of God Above. You can find it in number 283. If you would like to sing along, dear ones, you may unmute your mic to do so. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that one in heaven we stand. No tongue can bid me this depart. No tongue can bid me this depart.
When Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, upward I look and see him there, who made an end of all my sin. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the justice satisfied to look on him and pardon me, to look on him and pardon me.
Behold him there, the risen Lamb, my perfect spotless righteousness, the great unchangeable I am, the King of glory and of grace. One with himself I cannot die, my soul is purchased by his blood, my life is hid with Christ on high, with Christ my Savior and my God, with Christ my Savior and my God.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are going to ask any one of the elder siblings, Mami Sadari, so even our guests, to open our review section with prayer. May you unmute your mic, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please accept the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall they labor and do all their work, and the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord. Please protect the people that's in the Sabbath and the people that's not in the Sabbath and the new things that we learn. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little one. Our opening scripture for our review lesson is taken from Scripture Song Singers in the section of Promises for the Memory Verse CD. This is 1 Peter 5, verse 7, King James Version. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to reread our part 5 from last Sabbath from our title, Go Teach All Nations, in our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
The Desire of Ages, page 823. And continuing. Christ fills the walls of every sufferer. When evil spirits rend a human frame, Christ feels the curse. When fever is burning up the life current, he feels the agony. And he is just as willing to heal the sick now as when he was personally on earth. Christ's servants are his representatives, the channels for his working. He desires through them to exercise his healing power. The Desire of Ages, page 823, paragraph 4.
Continuing. In the Savior's manner of healing, there was lessons for his disciples. On one occasion, he anointed the eyes of a blind man with clay and bade him go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. John 9:7. The cure could be wrought only by the power of the great healer. Yet Christ made use of the simple agencies of nature. While he did not give countenance to the drug medication, he sanctioned the use of simple and natural remedies. The Desire of Ages, page 824, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 824. For many of the afflicted ones who received healing, Christ said, "Say no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." John chapter 5, verse 14. Thus he taught that disease is the result of violating God's law, both natural and spiritual. The great misery in the world would not exist did men but live in harmony with the Creator's plan. Desire of Ages.
Have a blessing, my Father. I will finish it
have
for you.
Have a blessing, my dear daughter.
Desire Ages, page 824, paragraph 2. Welcome all the precious family. We are in the Desired Ages, page 824. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May I unmute your mic?
Desire of Ages, page 824. Christ had been the guide and teacher of ancient Israel, and he taught them that health is the reward of obedience to the laws of God. The great physician who healed the sick in Palestine had spoken to his people from the pillar of cloud, telling them what they must do and what God would do for them. Next slide, please. Continuing. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, he said, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26.
For those that are not able to see the screen, any one of the brethren would like to read what is on the side?
On the side are the Ten Commandments, and below, from the Ministry of Healing, page 127. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and how to apply them. And there is a list of the 8 natural remedies for health. Trust in God, pure air, proper diet, sunshine, water, exercise, rest, and temperance.
Thank you so much, dear sister, and have a blessing as well to everyone that is coming in.
Continuing, Christ gave to Israel definite instruction in regard to their habits of life, and he assured them, "The Lord will take away from thee all sickness." Deuteronomy 7:15. When they fulfilled the conditions, the promise was verified to them. There was not one feeble person among their tribes. From Psalms 105, verse 37, and it is our ages 824, paragraph 3. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Continuing the reading. These lessons are for us. There are conditions to be observed by all who would preserve health. All should learn what these conditions are. The Lord is not pleased with ignorance in regard to his laws, either natural or spiritual. We are to be workers together with God for the restoration of health to the body as well as to the soul. The Desire of Ages, page 824, paragraph 4. Amen. And we should teach others how to preserve and to recover health. For the sick, we should use the remedies which God has provided in nature, and we should point them to Him who alone can restore. It is our work to present the sick and suffering to Christ in the arms of our faith. And on this slide, it's a verse from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your conversations be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he had said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And again, that is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. And I'll bubble down and share the next slide.
Continuing, Desire of Ages, page 824. We should teach them to believe in the great healer. We should lay hold on his promise and pray for the manifestation of his power. The very essence of the gospel is restoration, and the Savior would have us bid the sick, the hopeless, and the afflicted take hold upon his strength. Desire of Ages, page 824, paragraph 5.
Desire of Ages, page 825. The power of love was in all Christ's healing, and only by partaking of that love, through faith, can we be instruments for his work. If we neglect to link ourselves in divine connection with Christ, the current of life-giving energy cannot flow in rich streams from us to the people. There were places where the Savior himself could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. So now unbelief separates the church from her divine helper. Her hold upon eternal realities is weak. By her lack of faith, God is disappointed and robbed of his glory. Desire of Ages, page 825, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So what have we learned and ways we have grown? Now we are going to be able to remember this particular verse before we answer our questions. This is taken from 1 Peter 3:15, King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And now for those that are not able to see the screen, I'm going to read it out, dear ones. And if you're moved to share for the edification of the body of believers and to the glory of God, you may do so by opening the mic to share. Number one is, who is the main character or characters? Number two, what is the main idea of this section of our story? Number three, where did the story take place? Number four, when did the story begin? Number five, how could you relate to the story? And our last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you're able to type it or use your mic, who would like to take the first one, dear ones?
Number one, who is the main character or characters? Here we see Jesus, we see the disciples, and we see those that also were sick and afflicted and were healed. What is the main idea for this section of our story? The main idea for this section of our story is the healing power of Jesus. Most importantly, we saw about the 8 laws of health that can restore us to health. And we also see that the Lord prefers us to use natural remedies to be healed, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. For this Psalm number 3, where did the story take place? It's a little tricky for this section of the story. We saw that in the story that the Lord taught Israel, but it wasn't just for Israel. It was for us all, the entire world, and what we can, what we should do in terms of being restored according to the Lord.
Pero está muy chapada, es lo que te decía yo. O sea, es que está muy alto. Es que es una escondida, pero...
I'm not sure, but there is like some people are speaking in the background. I don't know if you can hear it, but I can hear it on this side. But I would like to be able to do number 4. It is beautiful the way how this part 5 begins, because it says that our Savior can feel all the suffering and everything that they are going through. And that is a beautiful thing to know, that the Lord is acquainted with each one in their affliction and in their suffering. Who would like to take number five, dear one?
Hi, number five is how could you relate to the story? I'm not going to relate to the story because it's personally, none of my children have had to go to the hospital for any reason, not even during COVID. The natural remedies have actually kept my children well and kept them out of the hospital. So as soon as something happened, either a fever, cold, snotty nose, sneezing, all of that, there was always something in the house I could give them, and they would be fine within 2 days.
Yeah, I would like to add to that in that, yeah, the following the natural remedies as Christ had given for us for healing is one of the things that we should practice as Christians. And as an example in my life, I try as much as I can. I have a little story and testament about my son, and he had or has a tooth that has been giving him a hard time for about a year now. And we practice the natural remedies on that tooth. And it's pretty bad, the tooth. And he hasn't had to go to the doctor for a whole year with that tooth, just practicing the natural remedies. But also what I have learned throughout this process is that we have to have faith and we have to be persistent and doing the things that is ordained by God to do in terms of the natural remedy. We have to be in prayer, and also we have to have faith in the Lord for healing. If we do these things, the Lord said that he will heal us. But if we think that we can do it for now or for this moment and then go back, then it will go back on even worse than the way it was. So, yeah, that's just a little experience that I've had with the natural remedies.
And number six, what did you learn from this lesson? Continuously learning and just building on to what our dear sister Grace had mentioned. And also dear sister Christina about the natural remedies and using them. Sometimes, it takes a little longer than the conventional remedies for us to start to see the full healing. And so people get deterred and discouraged. But if we do it by God's grace, trusting in God first and foremost, as the eight laws of health put first, the first one is to trust in God. He will heal and deliver. And sometimes we just have to be consistent and hold on, and have that faith. And it's not always that easy, because sometimes when you're in pain, you want immediate relief. You want it to be gone. But the Lord shows you are diligent, you're consistent, and you wait upon the Lord, that he will heal you. And it's a healing that is not going to be at a detriment to any other things in your body. He is healing you mentally, physically, and spiritually, and emotionally. And that's wonderful. So that's what I'm learning from this particular section of the lesson. And I want to praise the Lord for that.
It's funny because I've had a migraine for 2 days. And my husband says, well, just take some Aleve right before the study started today. And then I was like, no, I don't want a temporary healing. I need it to go all the way away. So I'm glad that we're actually having this study so he can understand why I said that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful to hear everyone. But sometimes when we have headaches, sometimes you think it's something that is happening within. Sometimes it's just lacking water. Sometimes it can be things in the computer that you're staring for such a long time and you may have a little bit of strain. There's many reasons why migraine comes about. But just as you investigate everything little here and there, you could be able to pinpoint exactly what seems to be the problem. And also, on the question concerning cramp, yes, it also can be used the natural remedies. When young, it depends on who's the one that is speaking, but anyway, iron. If your iron is pretty low in your body, it can cause you to have more cramps than before. So whenever you see that you're coming closer to that time, make sure you can even take a tablespoon of molasses. It's full of iron. It has also potassium and calcium. And you can do the hydrotherapy by putting warm water or so much as your skin can be able to take it. Don't take it so hot because you don't want to scald yourself. And just place it in the area where it will help you to be able to deal with the cramp. And what I have learned doing not only this particular part, but remember that we have body, we have spirit, and also we have soul. Christ is the only one that can be able to help us with our soul. So that's why we go first to Christ and we ask, because he's the one that gave us the reason, you know, the wisdom, and also how to be able to administrate everything, because without him, we can't do anything. I just wanted to share that.
I also just want to add to that, in that Christ has given us ample examples in the use of natural remedies, and it is also clear that he did not have to do that, but he wanted to establish that principle with us, and that we should use the things that he has provided, and it's a sign of faith when we do that, and so that he can restore us.
Amen. If there's anything else that anybody would like to add, they have this green clay that is very good as well. If anybody is interested, they have clay that you can be able to use in different instances when you are afflicted in the body. We are going to move on. We have sharing of thoughts and poem and special music. The thought is taken from a Spirit of Prophecy book entitled Maranatha, in chapter 194, entitled Unity and Separation Under the Lord Cry. And our reflection is taken from chapter 58, entitled The Church Triumphant. And we, at the end, we're going to cite the book that it came from. And the opening scripture is taken from Isaiah 61 and 2, King James Version, and it reads, Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Welcome to all the dear precious family that are coming in. Who would like to take the first paragraph? Dear ones, may you unmute your mind.
Continue with our quote. As trials thicken around us, both separation and unity will be seen in our ranks. Some who are now ready to take up weapons of warfare will, in times of real peril, make it manifest they have not built upon the solid rock. They will yield to temptation. Those who have had great light and precious privileges, but have not improved them, will, under one pretext or another, go out from us. Not having received the love of the truth, they will be taken in the delusions of the enemy. They will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, and will depart from the faith. Tune in next slide.
But on the other hand, when the storm of persecution really breaks upon us, the true sheep will hear the true shepherd's voice. Self-denying efforts will be put forth to save the lost, and many who have strayed from the fold will come back to follow the great shepherd. the people of God will draw together and present to the enemy a united front. In view of the common peril, strife for supremacy will cease. There will be no disputing as to who shall be accounted greatest.
No one of the true believers would say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas. The testimony of one and all will be, I cleave unto Christ. I rejoice in him as my personal Savior. Maranatha 202:2. As the third angel's message swells into a loud cry, great power and glory will append its proclamation. The faces of God's people will shine with the light of heaven. Maranatha 202, paragraph 3.
Continuing in paragraph 4 of the same book, Maranatha. Many of the rulers are those whom Satan controls, but God has his agents, even among the rulers, and some of them will yet be converted to the truth. A few of God's agents will have power to bear down a great mass of evil. Thus, the work will go on until the third message has done its work, and at the loud cry of the third angel, these agents will have an opportunity to receive the truth, and some of them will be converted and endure with the saints through the time of trouble.
Reflection. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 15, King James Version. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. If the church will put on the robe of Christ's righteousness, withdrawing from all allegiance with the world, there is before her the dawn of a bright and glorious day. God's promise to her will stand fast forever. He will make her an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Truth, passing by those who despise and reject it, will triumph. Although at times apparently retarded, its progress has never been checked. When the message of God meets with opposition, he gives it additional force, that it may exert greater influence. Endowed with divine energy, it will cut its way through the strongest barriers and triumph over every obstacle. The Acts of the Apostles, page 601, paragraph 1.
What sustained the Son of God during his life of toil and sacrifice? He saw this result of the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Looking unto eternity, he beheld the happiness of those who, through his humiliation, had received pardon and everlasting life. His ear caught the shout of the redeemed. He heard the ransomed ones singing the song of Moses and the Lamb. The Acts of the Apostles, page 601, paragraph 2.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family. This was taken from chapter 58, entitled The Church Triumphant, and the book was The Acts of the Apostles, page 601, paragraph 1 and 2. Welcome to all the Remnant family that are coming in. Our poem is entitled A Prayer for Help, and this was taken from Children, Bible Activity Book, Year 1, Quarter 1, Lesson 5, page 120, from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take the first one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number 1, gentle Jesus, meek and lowly, bless, I pray, thy humble child. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit, guide me yet a little while.
Help me e'er to shun, dear Savior, all things that offensive be. Lead me in the path to heaven. Bring me, Savior, near to thee.
Help me to obey thy precepts, honor thee in deed and word. Make me lowly, kind, and gentle altogether like me, Lord.
Then when days of sin are ended and our sorrows all are o'er, grant me, Lord, a home in heaven on the bright celestial shore.
Where I'll worship and adore thee through a never-ending day, there in heaven with the saints and angels tune the everlasting lead.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Our special music is taken from our lesson book, The Desire of All Nations, Memory Verse CD, Volume 1. This is from Isaiah 60, 1-3, King James Version. Going to leave the testimony by God's grace either in between or even after the services, dear one. So next week, by God's grace, we will continue with part 6 of our lesson book entitled Go and Teach All Nations. I was so caught up in the music, sorry. The lesson is entitled Go Teach All Nations in our study book, The Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear ones would like to close with prayer, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. We want to thank you for your blessed Sabbath day. We thank you for all the beautiful lessons that we have been learning here. We thank you, Lord, for the lessons that you have taught us, that you are the one that heal us, and that we should have faith in you and to use the simple remedies that you have given for us to heal. Thank you, Father, for this blessed lesson, and also continue to be with us, be with the little ones and their parents, continue to bless them. Be with us as we go now into the second sections of our studies. Continue to be with us and the lessons that we will learn there as well. Be with the speaker, bless him, and give him the word that he will impart to us. Thank you again, dear Lord Jesus, for this blessed Sabbath day. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, that will be August the 2nd, 2025, we will continue with part 6 of our chapter 86 entitled Go Teach All Nations. That will be lesson 440. Leaving the scripture and also a quote from Manuscript Releases 111. Paragraph 3. The scripture is taken from Hebrews chapter 8, 7, King James. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. And from our quote, Christ's death and resurrection completed his covenant. Before this time, it was revealed through types and shadow, which pointed to the great offering to be made by the world's Redeemer, offered in promise for the sins of the world. Anciently, believers were saved by the same Savior as now, but it was a God veil. They saw God's mercy in figures. The promise given to Adam and Eve in Eden was the gospel to a fallen race. The promise was made that the seed of the woman should bruise the serpent's head and it should bruise his heel. Christ's sacrifice is the glorious fulfillment of the whole Jewish economy. The Son of Righteousness has risen. Christ, our righteousness, is shining in brightness upon us. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.